Willie Taylor and his youthful lover, full of mirth and loyalty. They were going to the church to be married. He was pressed and sent on sea. Dally dilly dum, dilly um dum dum dum, dally dilly dum, dilly um dum day. She dressed herself up like a sailor. On her breast she wore a star. Her lovely fingers, long and slender, she gave them all just a smear of tar. Dally dilly dum, dilly um dum dum dum, dally dilly dum, dilly um dum day. On the ship there been a skirmish, she been one among the rest. A silver button flew off her jacket, there appeared her snow-white breast. Dally dilly dum, dilly um dum dum dum, dally dilly dum, dilly um dum day. Said the captain to this fair maid, what misfortune has brought you here? I'm in search of my true lover that you pressed on the other year. Dally dilly dum, dilly um dum dum dum, dally dilly dum, dilly um dum day. If you're in search of your true lover, pray come tell to me his name. Willie Taylor they do call him, but Fitzgerald is his name. Dally dilly dum, dilly um dum dum dum, dally dilly dum, dilly um dum day. If you get up tomorrow morning, early as the break of day, there you'll find your Willie Taylor walking along with the lady gay. Dally dilly dum, dilly um dum dum dum, dally dilly dum, dilly um dum day. So she got up the very next morning, early as the break of day, and there she spied her Willie Taylor walking along with his lady gay. Dally dilly dum, dilly um dum dum dum, dally dilly dum, dilly um dum day. She took out a brace of pistols that she had at her command, and there she shot her Willie Taylor with his bride at his right hand. Dally dilly dum, dilly um dum dum dum, dally dilly dum, dilly um dum day. When the captain came to hear of the deed that she had done, he made her a ship's commander over a vessel to the Isle of Man. Dally dilly dum, dilly um dum dum dum, dally dilly dum, dilly um dum day. Willie Taylor. We're here now, not very far away from Carberry's pub, on Drogheda's North Quay, beside the ships coming in and out. This was a very, very busy port, not so much anymore, but in back in the 19th and 20th centuries, there was a huge amount of traffic went in and out of here, and which is probably what inspired us to sing a nautical song like Willie Taylor. But in Willie Taylor, we have something that Kevin mentioned before, and that's the lady dressing up in the men's clothes and going off to either to war or to sea, for whatever reason, adventure, find her lover. But we had Kevin can tell us about a very local young woman who had a similar experience in her life.
Ruth, that's true. We'll talk a little bit about a lady called Jenny Hodgers. You mentioned the song Willie Taylor, and there are a number of other songs from around here which are about women who dress up. And, you know, in Bonnie Light Horseman, for example, we do have one of those verses about joining the regiment as a lady and fighting with her lover on the battlefield. For me, it sounded always a little bit far-fetched. And so it's one of the least sung verses of Bonnie Light Horseman, strangely enough. But what I realised only recently is that it's not far-fetched at all. And you mentioned our local link as regards this. And Jenny Hodgers was a woman who was born in the early 1840s in Claverhead, and had a remarkable life. It would appear that as a child she was dressed up in boys' clothes. Generally, she was a sheep herder or shepherd, and it was thought by her uncle or father that it was a little bit easier for her to be dressed up in that way, probably safer. And so as a child, that's what she worked at. It would be quite likely that she left Ireland in her mid-teens, probably from this harbour here, Drogheda Port, and headed over to Liverpool, where the ships would bring you to the United States. She was in New York for a number of years, doing labouring on buildings and so on. And then in the 1860s, when she was about 17 years of age, the American Civil War broke out and she joined the Union Army. And by all accounts, and there is quite a lot of archive account of this, she was a very brave young soldier. And she fought for 3 years on the Union side without ever an injury. The only time she ever had to visit the surgeon or doctor was because, unfortunately, she did have acute diarrhea, which plagued her for the rest of her life. She was taken prisoner at one stage, but she managed to run free. She knocked the gun out of the Confederate soldier's hand, pushed him to the ground, and outran the other soldiers. And as I say, at the end of the war, she left the army. She was again a labourer and a gardener for many, many years, right up into her 60s. Unfortunately, in her late 60s, she was working on a senator's garden, and the senator drove over her and broke her leg. And it was just at this point in her life then that it was realised that she was not a he. And she was, soon after this, her physical and her mental health started deteriorating, and she was brought into a veterans home. And she was there for a number of years, but unfortunately they decided that her mental health was not suitable to staying in this home, and she was transferred to a psychiatric hospital. And this is where the tragedy really begins, because she was transferred to the female ward of the psychiatric hospital. She was required for the first time in her life to wear women's attire, and she couldn't wear it. If you think of the hoops and dresses and long skirts of Victorian clothing, she simply could not walk in them, and in fact she fell over pretty soon and broke her hip, and her health again started going downhill. The news of her gender being discovered became a media sensation of sorts, and a lot of her former comrades in arms came to visit her, including her captain, who was very loyal to her. In fact, all of the soldiers were. They didn't really care one way or the other whether she was male or female, and that's one of the salutary lessons in the tale. But she died in 1915. And I believe you have seen a photo or know what is written on her headstone.
Yeah, it was actually very touching what was written on her headstone. It just said, Jenny Hodgers, Claverhead, Ireland, Albert Cashier and her regiment on her tombstone, which I think she was, you know, it was nice to think that she was recognised for what she was during her life. I thought that was kind of nice.
Yeah. Yes, Albert Cashier was her other name, the name that she really operated under for all of her adult life. And it's worthwhile remembering that at this stage, as Albert Cashier, she could open a bank account, she could vote, she could travel freely, she could draw a pension, she could stay in this veteran's home. As a woman, she didn't have any of these rights. So there are the romantic notions of, you know, heading off to battle as a woman that might pervade these songs. There are very, very practical reasons for why somebody who had always had an identity as a male would have wanted to remain male in his identity and as such join the army. as it turns out, she was not on her own. There were many, many hundreds of other people who fought, women who fought on the Confederate and the Union sides in the war. And this is why I have mentioned earlier that these songs, folk songs, which, as I said, originally to me seemed a bit outlandish, are painting, telling a history that has otherwise been unsung, untold. We talk now in terms of modern sensibilities, and we use terms such as LGBT or terms such as lesbian or gay or anything like this. These are people who were living these identities, multiple identities or fluid identities, hundreds of years ago. I love the local side of the story. I love the fact that these songs are telling tales that otherwise would not be known, and we have a lot of stories such as The Handsome Cabin Boy, or In London So Fair, another of Mary Ann Carolan's songs, or Willie Taylor, which was collected from Pa Cassidy in Louth Village. A lot of these songs tell about this idea of dressing up as something else, somebody else, and also of even being considered as a handsome young boy, or a pretty young boy is the term that was used in the book that I just read, which is called They Fought Like Demons, which is about the soldiers, the women soldiers in the US Civil War.
In London so fair a lady she lived there, a lady of great beauty and great might, and unto this lady fair I became a servant there, and in me she took great delight. This lady had a son of merchant beauty born, and he became a sailor on the sea. Well, he courted a fair maid till he had her heart betrayed, and then he was bound for the sea. It happened one day in the cabin where they lay, and the tears from her eyes they did flow, saying, "Young man, you're going away, far, far from me to stray, and to leave me on the shore for to mourn. And no, no," says he, "such things could never be, for as long as I'm a sailor on the sea, the ship that I command, may she never reach the land, the day that I be false love unto thee." She cut off her yellow hair that hung down her back so fair, for fear that anybody might know. And then in the sailor's dress that very night she went, and straight to the captain she did go. She bendy and slim, complete in every limb, and the clothes fitted tightly to her knee. As the crew that on her gaze, the captain to her says, "Young man, were you ever on the sea?" "And no, no," says she, "I was never on the sea, but ship me as a fine sailor bold, for I know to choose to go where the stormy winds do blow, to capture some silver and some gold." It happened one day in the cabin where he lay, and the tears from his eyes they did flow, saying, "You're like a lover of mine, I think on many's the time I left on the shore for to mourn. And no, no," says she,
such things could never be. For as long as I'm a sailor on the sea, the ship that I command, may she never reach the land. The day did I be false love unto thee. His own words he knew, she spoke beneath the crew, and into her arms he flew like a dove, saying, do not shed a tear, you followed me, my dear, and it's married we will be. They call for a clerk, they call for a maid, they call for a clergyman likewise, and this couple they were wed, and together they to bed, and now they're living happy on the sea.
I often think, Kevin, if I had lived back in 1820, I like to travel and I like to work and I like to do things. But really, a woman, how would a young girl, how else would a young girl have the opportunity to work, to see the world? To, I mean, not everybody, like one class of woman would sit at home and tat and do flower arranging, and the others would feed the chickens and collect the eggs, you know. It was very, surely they must have had that same fierce sense of, I don't know, wanderlust and adventure and independence as their male counterparts, you know. And maybe this was the only way they could do that, see the world, you know.